We are part of the fellowship of the unashamed. We have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. We have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. We are disciples of His. We won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. Our past has been redeemed. Hallelujah. Our present makes sense, and our future is secure. We are finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. We no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. We don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. We now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. Our faces are set. Our gate is fast. Our goal is heaven. Our road is narrow. Our way is rough. Our companions few. But our guide reliable. Yes. And our mission clear. Yes. We cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, diluted, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. We will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. Hesitate in the presence of adversity. Negotiate at the table of the enemy. Ponder at the pool of popularity. Or meander in the maze of mediocrity. We won't give up, shut up, let up, or slow down until we've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. We are disciples of Jesus, so we must go till He comes. Give as He gave. Preach all we know and serve till He stops. And when He comes to get His own, He'll have no problem recognizing us. Our colors will be clear. Let us pray. Holy Father, that is my heart cry. With the psalmist David, I pray the ancient prayer, revive me, O Lord, for Your namesake. I pray for that holy fire that is not worked up but prayed down. That anointing that does not come by human engineering but by heaven's blessing. Let it happen even here, Lord, for You did not bring me here to impress, but that we might be refreshed together in Your presence. And draw near, do what only You can do to turn Your people's hearts to You. Revive us, O Lord, I pray, for the honor of Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I can still remember that night. Wikipedia says August 27, 1994, nothing that significant happened, but something happened that day to change my life forever. We were spending a quiet evening with some friends there in Collegedale, Tennessee. They call that Happy Valley, you know. People like to live there. In fact, some stay there until they die. They even have a cemetery there so you can wait until Jesus comes. It's a nice place to live, and I was there with my family enjoying a quiet evening when we were rudely interrupted by a phone call. It was my neighbor, Steve. Derek, he said, I was wondering if you could come down to our house. We're having some trouble here, and I wonder if you could come down and pray. Apparently, some students had gathered that evening at Steve and Laura's house, and they were having a time of prayer together, and when they came to one person in the circle, she was unable to pray. And so a zealous theology student who was poorly prepared walked over. And as he did, she shoved him out of the way. and fell on the floor and began to snarl and to toss and to turn. Steve called. He said, "Derek, could you come down here and pray? I want to tell you something, my friends. You need spiritual protection." What does this series have to do with us? I want to tell you, if you stand with God's people in these last days, you need radical protection, because there is a war going on. I prayed with my family. Do you know, if you take a stand with the Fellowship of the Unashamed, your family will come under attack? Do not be careless. I prayed with my wife and for our children. And then I got in my car. It's just a half a mile down to Steve and Laura's house. I didn't know this, but my wife and friends continued to pray through the evening. Blessed be the name of God. So I walked into Steve's house. I sensed the spirit of confusion. A young lady was laying on the floor. Laura was nursing her head. People were around her, appealing to her, "Call upon Jesus, say Jesus." She said, "I don't understand what you're saying." I knelt at her feet, wondering what to say. I tell you, you do not have the wisdom for that hour. That's why you need to fill your heart with the Word of God, because His Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I knelt down, and I thought perhaps I could pray a blessing for her. And as I reached out my hand to touch her foot, I'm kneeling at her feet, she reared up, as if she wanted to rip my head off of my shoulders. I can still remember the goosebumps and the hair. I don't have a lot of hair on my neck, but it was all standing up. I realized that I was contending with cosmic forces in opposition to God. And then a voice spoke out of her mouth. Deep, raspy tones. "She opened her life to me." Radical protection. Jesus understood the battle in His ministry. He contended with cosmic forces. One time He was preaching. Mark records the story in Mark chapter 1. And while He was preaching, a man stood up. I'm sure that the man wanted to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But as he stood up, Scripture records in Mark 1 and verse 24, somebody else spoke. "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus was well acquainted with the cosmic controversy. Why, at the beginning of His ministry, when He was in the wilderness contemplating His mission, an angel appeared to Him. You know the story, Matthew chapter 4. Was this an angel sent from God to comfort Him, or was it one in opposition to God? Well, the words of this angel betrayed Him. "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down." Oh, but then it becomes much more clear. "Fall down and worship me." Oh, this is not an angel sent from the courts of heaven. That angel would bow low before Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But this angel says, "Fall down and worship me." Battle lines are drawn as Jesus begins His ministry. But this great controversy that many do not understand in our culture, and you need to explain it to them, it did not begin during the ministry of Jesus. There's a remarkable story in the book of Job, chapter 1. You know the story, but look at it again. Job chapter 1. People don't understand this great struggle between good and evil. We need to explain to them. And we need to help them to find radical protection. Job chapter 1, verse 6 says that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And that was not his name originally. Satan means adversary or opposer. But Satan shows up. And the Lord asked him a question. Look in verse 7, Job chapter 1. The Lord said to Satan, "Where do you come from?" Now, the Lord didn't need to ask that question because the Lord knows all things, doesn't he? Doesn't Scripture record in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, "Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done." He didn't need to ask the question, but he gave Satan the opportunity to identify himself. Where do you come from? If he had been a loyal angel, he might have said, "I come from the creative hand of my great and awesome God." But he did not say that. Satan said, "From going to and fro on the earth." If he hadn't been a liar and a deceiver, he would have said, "Going to and fro, wreaking havoc on the earth." Satan, the adversary. But that's not the beginning of this story. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 12. You need to explain this to people. They need to understand about this great controversy between good and evil. They need to understand where radical protection is found. Revelation 12, war, verse 7, broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. This is the fallen angel who stood before Jesus and said, "Fall down and worship me." This is the fallen angel who had appeared in the courts of heaven, saying that he was roaming around on the earth. That old serpent, the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Scripture does not record how many angels there are. Doesn't it say myriads upon myriads, or 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands? But there seems to be a reference in Revelation 12 and verse 4 to the fact that the dragon drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. If that is indeed a reference to the adversary, it tells me that one third of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands joined Satan in rebellion against God. I want to tell you something. We need radical protection. We are contending with cosmic forces in opposition to God. And if you're not experiencing that battle in your life, perhaps nothing much is happening for the cause of Christ. Because I tell you, when you stand for God, the enemy will come. You need radical protection. But I had a question. And perhaps those that you will share these truths with will have the same question. Why would one-third of the angelic host join Satan in rebellion? It's a good question. Perhaps we'll find a partial answer in Isaiah chapter 14. You know the passage, but you need to explain it to others. They need to understand what's happening in the world. Isaiah 14, beginning with verse 12. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" born in the heart of this perfect angel, seeds of rebellion. I don't understand that. It is a mystery. I can't explain it. But Scripture testifies that it is so. And this angel, iniquity was found in him, Ezekiel tells us. And war broke out in heaven. Through lies and deception, he convinced a third of the angels to join him. And that war now rages on planet Earth. As the young lady was there on the floor, snarling, she heard the voice speak. She opened her life to me. And in her mind she said, "Oh God, I never thought it would come to this." You see, 2 weeks before, this young lady got angry with God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. God can handle your anger. Those of you who are parents who have ever had your child have a temper tantrum and pound on your leg and tell you that they hate you because you didn't give them the cookie, God can handle your anger. But this young lady made a foolish mistake. In her anger, she said, "God, leave me alone. Get out of my life. I'm not coming back." It was Sabbath. She left church. She went to the mall to do some shopping. Now, the theologians can settle the issue of shopping on Sabbath. I happen to believe the Sabbath's a wonderful time to rest from all of our labors. And this young lady was used to resting from her labors. She was under conviction that this was indeed a day blessed by God and set apart. But she went to the mall and she just began to randomly buy things. How do you think she felt as she deliberately transgressed the will of God and the Word of God? How do you think she felt? Huh? Some people say she felt bad, but she didn't. She said, "I felt very powerful." First seed, first indication of demonic activity. She kept going to worships. She kept going to her prayer group. But she said, "I felt cold and hard on the inside." And then that day, gathering with some friends, praying around the circle, and now it was her turn, but she could not pray. That's another indication. Something's wrong. "Call to me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you will glorify me." But she couldn't pray. And then comes the theology student, carelessly, poorly prepared, not covered. "I want to tell you, your weak words mean nothing in a battle against the kingdom of darkness." I'm kneeling there at her feet. "God, what do you want me to do?" And a passage of Scripture flashed into my mind. It's the passage that we're going to study together in this five-part series. I don't understand it fully, but I want to consider it with you. It flashed into my mind in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I knew that this young lady needed radical protection, and I knew I needed protection too. And one thing was clear. Look at verse 12. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." It's an interesting word, the Greek noun, pale, wrestle, translated wrestle. It's only found one place in the Scriptures. They call that a hapax legomena, I think. So how do you find out what it means if it's only found that one place? Well, you go to classical Greek, and you discover that this noun is used for wrestling matches and hand-to-hand combat. Many of these early wrestling matches, by the way, were to the death. Did you know that? This is not a playful endeavor. Notice what Paul says. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but supplied we wrestle. I want you to notice it doesn't say some wrestle. It doesn't say the gifted few wrestle. We wrestle. That means if you stand under the banner of Emmanuel, if you are part of the fellowship of the unashamed, you will wrestle. Hand-to-hand combat. And you're not wrestling against people. Kung Fu doesn't work. Taekwondo is inadequate. I had one of my students came into this conflict. He had a loaded gun on his nightstand. This is before he became a follower of Jesus. Don't go out and buy a gun. He said his first impression was to shoot at that evil force, and then he realized you can't shoot. His second impression was to shoot himself. You cannot fight with the weapons of this world. But we wrestle. Hand-to-hand combat. Life and death. We wrestle. Notice what Paul says. This is a deep passage. You come to me and say, Derek, I found something else. I'll use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah. Because I want to learn. Because I tell you, this battle will become more intense. We wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Do you know that is the word that Jesus used in John 14 in reference to Satan, the ruler of this world? Principalities. Against powers, literally authorities. Rulers of the darkness of this age, literally world rulers of darkness. Spiritual forces of wickedness in super-terrestrial locations. It almost sounds like a very structured organization. Some people have conjectured that this may actually be ranks within the kingdom of darkness. I don't know if that's true. But would you agree with me that this opposition to God is very organized? And it is superhuman. Some of you have felt the intensity of those attacks in your own life, haven't you? I felt them first when I was 8 years old. Didn't know much about the great controversy. I had some vague recollection that my grandmother had been involved in occult practices. Now I'm 8 years old and Satan comes to claim me as his own. Some of you have felt the oppression when darkness comes. You felt the weight on your chest. You've struggled for breath. The battle is real. But I want to thank God that I had some Christian parents and I had some Christian teachers. I could have lost hope that night. I could have given up and died that night. But I knew that my Redeemer lives, even at 8 years old. Like my good friend said, I read the end of the book, and Jesus wins. I knew that. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You will glorify me. And here I am today, almost 50 years later, telling you that the battle is real. You know that. Some of you could give your testimony. Some of you are under spiritual attack right now. Some of you have family members who are under intense spiritual attack right now. The battle is real. We wrestle, hand-to-hand combat. But I'm so thankful that the Word of God doesn't just present the problem. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, there's a solution here. We're just going to start today. We'll be together if you can join us. If not, hopefully they'll record it. I know you have ministry responsibilities, but I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 6 with me and just look at verse 10. We'll study the passage this week. But I want you to notice Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to tell you, in this great battle against good and evil, your strength and your victory is found in the Lord. Don't get too sophisticated now. I don't know what degree you're working on. But I tell you, the enemy, adversary, Satan, he's not really impressed with your academic acumen. Some of you may leave here highly educated and weak in the spirit. Satan is not impressed. But I want to tell you, you can find your strength and victory in the Lord. I learned that when I graduated from here almost 100 years ago. I went out to a district in northeastern Pennsylvania. You know what I discovered? They weren't too impressed with my GPA. Some of them didn't even know what a GPA was. Am I telling the truth today? Things that we lived and died for here, they mean nothing out there. I'm not suggesting you should be careless. I want you to be diligent. But your strength and victory is found in the Lord. That's what people will want to know when you get out there, brother, sister. When you stand beside a dying man and his wife looks at you in expectation, it doesn't matter what grade you got in. You name the class. Your strength and victory is found in the Lord. I'm kneeling at the feet of this young lady. This passage flashes into my mind. I'm going to talk to you about filling your heart with the Word of God Friday night. I hope you'll be here. This passage flashed into my mind, and I knew that this young lady was acquainted with this passage, for she was one of my students. She was a valedictorian of her class. People were around like, what happened? How did she get there? She opened the door. Dear friend of ours, daughter opened the door. She got onto internet, chatting, connections. One young lady connected with a man in Australia, became friends with him. I talked to her father. He came to me needing radical protection. She began to chat with him, found out he was a member of the Church of Satan. Be careful who you talk to online. She thought, I need to back away. And as she did, he decided that he wanted to kill her. Unleashed forces of evil. I'll share the story later in the week. It's real. You know what? Some of your members are afraid to talk to you about the battles they're experiencing. Do you know why? This man's a CFO of two hospitals. His family is under intense spiritual attack. Do you know why they're afraid to talk to many of us? I'll tell you why. Because some people think you're crazy. They don't understand the battle. And I tell you, God can't lead people to you if you don't believe the battle's real. How can you help them? And the other reaction is, they're afraid because they don't want what's happening to you to happen to them, so they don't want to talk about it. But the battle's real, and we need radical protection. And as I'm kneeling there at the feet of this young woman, Stephen Laura's house, Ephesians 6 flashes into my mind, and so I began to pray the armor of God. Now, I'm a bit skeptical, I have to tell you. I don't understand how all of that works. But I want to be simple enough in my faith. I want to trust God enough to say, if God's Word says it, I'm going to believe it and do it. You have a better idea? So I began to pray. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace on her feet, the shield of faith with which she could extinguish every flaming dart of the evil one. She told me later, as you prayed, every piece of the armor, new strength came to me. The helmet of salvation, bringing every thought into captivity to the will of Christ. And the sword of the Spirit. Oh, I hope you're here Friday night. I want to tell you some powerful truths about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I prayed the armor of God over her. I don't understand all of that. I don't believe in mantras and little things, but if God brings the Word to you, pray it. And as I prayed the armor of God to cover her, freedom came to her. Hallelujah. She cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, save me." Before, confusion. But now, freedom. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Blessed be the name of God. She just began to praise the Lord. She gathered some of her friends. And she said, "Let's just pray together." And they gathered in a circle of prayer. They were just praising God. We need to do that more, you know. I want to tell you, you're only alive today by the grace of God. You ought to praise Him for that. You ought to praise Him. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You ought to praise Him that He's called you to be part of the fellowship of the unashamed. You're not that hot. God didn't choose you because you're so wonderful. He chose you because you are honored to join Him in His work. You ought to praise Him for that. Lift your voice. Blessed be the name of God. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever. She was just praising God with the little circle. And she gave her testimony to me while she was kneeling. That evil spirit came right up to her again. And at first, she was tempted to be afraid. And then she just began to praise God. Because she said, "It could not enter me because I was clothed with the armor of God." I know what you're thinking. Did it last? I mean, you know, sometimes people, "Help me, Jesus." Like Ron Halverson in the boat out in the Sound. Forgot about him as soon as they got to ground, you know. Did it last? I saw that young lady just a few weeks ago. She married a fine Christian man. She has two beautiful children. She's walking with Jesus. Jesus set her free. But she knows. She knows that the battle is real. Be strong in the Lord. Your strength, your victory is found in the Lord. Amen. And I'm appealing to you today because this isn't just about you. God help us. We go out to minister in Jesus' name. God help us. It's not just about you. It's about all of God's children. Even the ones with studs and tattoos. Even the ones like the young lady who came into my office and said, I just said, "God, get out," and Satan, "I guess it's just you and me, so you might as well come in." It's for people like her too. God sends you out. Part of the fellowship of the unashamed. You are a disciple of Jesus. I want to tell you, you need protection. There's so much I'd like to share with you, but would you take one idea with you today? In this great battle against good and evil, between good and evil, your strength and victory is found in the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask a personal question because I didn't want to spend all of my time talking. We want to talk to God now. I'm going to ask a personal question, and it will take courage for women of God and men of God to respond honestly. I want to ask if there's someone here and you sense that you're under spiritual attack and you need the people of God to pray for you. That could come in different ways, like a pastor who just sent me an article this week. I'll share some of that with you later in the week. It's real. Maybe that attack is coming to you personally. Maybe your family's under attack. And you know it's real. And you need the people of God to pray for you. If there's anybody like that, I plead with you not to be ashamed. God has brought you here to bless your life today. And I'm going to ask you, if there's anyone, would you just raise your hand? You feel under attack. Oh, my. Help us, Lord. I want you to stand up if you raised your hand. Right now, just stand up right where you are. Not everybody. Not asking you all to stand up. Oh, Lord God. I want you to look around. There's more people standing than sitting. I was going to ask those of you sitting, Dan and others, to pray for those who are standing. You may have to pray for each other. Is that okay? Did you come for a breakthrough? You don't have to tell people what the struggle is, the battle is, but you know it's real. Well, we're going to lift up a symphony of prayer to God right now. You can sit, you can kneel, you can stand. I want you to find someone. If you're seated, find someone standing. If everybody around you is standing, find someone near you who's standing and pray for each other. Would you do that? I want you to do this. I want you to give thanks to God that your strength and victory is found in the Lord. Would you do that? He already knows your problem. You don't need to go through all of your problems. But would you thank Him that your strength and victory is found in the Lord? And would you thank Him that God brought us together for this week? And let me challenge you with this thought before you pray. I want you to listen to these messages, not just for you. I want you to preach them. I want to give you manuscripts that you can improve on and put your own journey in and go out and preach powerfully, because there are so many people like us. Look how many are standing here. Does it surprise you? Thank you, Dean, for being here today. Does it surprise you that so many are standing? It's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Or not? Or maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it means that we're part of the fellowship of the unashamed, and Satan's unleashing all of his terrors. And today, someone's going to pray for you. Would you pray in the Spirit? We'll talk about that on Sabbath. That is so important. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. We'll talk about that. But as best as we know how, by the Spirit of God, would you pray for that person now? Would you thank God that their strength and victory is found in the Lord? And when you're finished praying, I would like you to just be in silence. Please do not start talking to each other. I'd like you to just sit quietly and reflect. Open your scriptures again to Ephesians 6. Someone will come up as we have a close of our corporate prayer time, okay? So do that now. Find someone. You can sit or kneel. Don't let anybody be left out. Thank God that our strength and our victory is found in the Lord.